I'm very pleased to be here today to celebrate with you Indiana's progress towards reforming its child welfare system. Over the past 3 years, just about, thanks to Governor Daniels' commitment and Judge Payne's leadership, Indiana has embraced the most sophisticated, state-of-the-art child welfare policies and practices that are available today. And this is a huge step for Indiana. You've moved from a system that was really considered to be very marginal nationally to one that is really beginning to emerge as a national leader. And that's a huge accomplishment in a very short period of time. You are transforming your child welfare system to really better help and support Indiana's vulnerable children and families by assuring safety, permanence, and well-being for children. And that's what child welfare is all about. The Annie Casey Foundation, for those of you who are not aware, was founded by the founders of the United Parcel Service. They set up the foundation in honor of their mother, Annie, who raised them as a single mom. It is the 15th largest foundation in the country, and it's the largest foundation to devote its entire resources and mission to helping vulnerable children and families. In fact, there's another division of the foundation, a couple that are working in one in Marion County right now, and making connections work. But more importantly, we've just started some work with the governor on a offender reentry program. And this is one of the issues that we so appreciate the governor's support on. And we want to thank the governor for his interest and commitment to helping offenders reenter society, reenter their community successfully. This, again, is another important child welfare issue because so many parents of child welfare families are, in fact, have been incarcerated at one time or another. But as well, public child welfare is an important mission of the foundation. Judge Payne called us shortly after being tapped by the governor to come and help. He called us on the phone. He said, "Is there any way you can help me? I'm going to be the director of a new department in Indiana." We jumped at the chance. We jumped at the chance because Indiana was always considered to be such a marginal system. In fact, as Judge Payne mentioned, one of two states that had never complied with the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act. So we came to Indiana shortly after the first of the year when Judge Payne was sharing an office with Stephanie. And basically, you know, that set it up right there. We thought, oh, my God, we knew we had a long way to go, but he's sharing an office with the deputy director of the department. So there was a lot to be done. Yes, there were pockets of good work being done in Indiana's child welfare system, but they were pockets of work being done by individual caseworkers with individual families. And there was very little, from what outsiders could see, of a demonstrated state leadership or commitment to success. The accomplishments to date have been remarkable. Governor Daniels has, and supported by the legislature, had the wisdom to follow through on his commitment to invest in services to vulnerable children and families by creating a separate state agency that has just child welfare and child support, taking it out of the bowels of a huge bureaucracy. That's a huge statement of the importance of child welfare. Governor Daniels, supported by the legislature, has shown the courage to invest in reasonable caseload sizes so that workers can undertake real casework with families, rather than to actually help them, rather than just struggle to comply with federal rules and state laws. Governor Daniels has shown the acumen to appoint Jim Payne as the Director of Child Services and encouraged him to appoint a first-class management team and supported him to invest in the infrastructure necessary at the state agency level to make this system work. His energy and his willingness to dig deeply into the system, to understand what it's all about, and to figure out how it really works are commendable and unusual. Judge Payne could have just easily sat back and said, okay, we've got 12 and 17 committed by the governor, and that's my legacy. But he didn't. He dug in, and he said, what do we need to do to fix this system? He and his management team, which includes obviously many of you in the room today, have worked tirelessly. And he's right when he talks about people being here till 8 o'clock. I don't know when I've been in another state where the entire management team is working till 8 o'clock every night. Usually at 4:30, the place is empty. And all of this work has been to update and improve Indiana's system for vulnerable children and families to make sure they're protected and that they can grow and thrive in permanent families. Just to talk about a few of the accomplishments. You've adopted a new method of working with children and families, a practice reform that focuses on families and youth being involved in decisions that affect them, that really allows caseworkers to help families identify what they really need, including extended family and others in the community that can help them safeguard their children. This practice model is considered best practice nationally, but still only a handful of states have adopted it as aggressively as Indiana. You've developed a management and supervisory structure that allows adequate oversight and support for county operations. You've developed regional service councils that have made the responsibility to determine appropriate services for each of the 18 regions' local decisions. You've developed caseworker training in conjunction with Indiana University. It includes mentoring. It includes a clinical capacity. All of those help caseworkers make the critically important decisions about families' lives. Gives them the skills to do so appropriately. You've developed a state-of-the-art quality assurance system that will regularly monitor and how successfully the system works on behalf of protecting children and helping families. This is about more than compliance with rules. It's a national model for assuring quality of services within the child welfare system. Widely considered to be best practice, again, just a handful of states have adopted this model, and you are one of them. You've undertaken needed and overdue enhancements to your information system that will allow you to track children and families cases. You've developed performance measures in order to track performance and progress to make sure the focus is not just the work, but the outcome of the work. It's not only about what's been done by the caseworker, but what's been accomplished by the caseworker. You've undertaken hard work to increase federal revenues, and ahead of other states, you're piloting cutting-edge technology that uses cell phones with GPS technology to assure worker safety. All of these initiatives and changes have not achieved their full impact yet. Change, reform, transformation of large bureaucracies takes time. But the investment has been made, and that's what's important. The elements are in place to truly help vulnerable children and families in Indiana, to measure their progress, to assure the system works, and to make adjustments as necessary. Together, these elements are on the verge of making Indiana one of the foremost child welfare systems in the country. You don't just have one of the pieces of the pie, you have all of the pieces you're putting together. You have much to be proud of, and the rest of the country is taking notice. And all of this is possible because of the commitment, the unwavering commitment of Governor Mitch Daniels to invest in Indiana's children and families. In my 30 years in the field, I know of no other governor who has made this level of investment in the child welfare system just because it was the right thing to do. I know of no other governor who's made this level of commitment without being forced to do so by a state class action lawsuit and a federal judge. This level of investment and commitment and support is unparalleled and unprecedented. You have much to be thankful for, and you have done an unbelievably good job at accomplishing what you have done so far. There's more to be done, but I know that you can do this because you're on the right road. I'm honored and privileged to present an award to Governor Daniels. Governor? to read what this award says. It says, awarded to Governor Mitch Daniels in honor of your unwavering commitment to Indiana's children and families, November 27, 2007, the Annie E. Casey Foundation.
Thank you so much. Thanks for all you do.
There's a box to put it down.
Oh, Tracy. I snuck in the back of the room early in Tracy's presentation and imposed myself on the table over there, and midway through I leaned over to Janice Klein from the Children's Bureau and I said, this is like going to your own funeral. That was way too kind, but immensely gratifying because of the subject matter and because of the subject. And because of the source, I'm sorry, of those comments. You know, this job I temporarily hold has brought already so many magic moments and memories. The phone calls that said that thousands of jobs were coming to this part of Indiana or that part of Indiana. The moment when I knew we'd restored the state's finances to the black. The last-minute passage of bills to bring insurance to the uninsured or to solve the transportation shortfall that people said couldn't be solved. But no moment, I don't believe, that quite compares to this one. Because of all the ways in which a society or a state can be measured, I don't think there's a better measure than the way in which it protects its children and cares for them and endeavors to give them the fairest and best possible start in life. And so there's no better way for a state to be known than as a place where children are afforded every protection, every assistance, every bit of love of which we are capable. Quite obviously, I accept this award, and not on my own account, but on yours. All those people in the public sector and in the nonprofit world and in private life who are working every day and who have worked successfully, as we just heard, to move Indiana from the bottom to the top tier. Perhaps one day to be known as the state in America where kids are best cared for and best looked after. No entity could have done us a greater honor than to make these findings and say these things about our state. The Annie Casey Foundation, and I know everyone here knows its history, has been the nation's conscience about the care of children for a long, long time. And it is the nation's authority, certainly the one I look to, for objective understanding of where this important task is being well done or not so well. When Indiana was at the bottom, they told us so in no uncertain terms. They helped us see the way forward. They've helped us directly to make the progress that's been made. Stop and think about that for a minute. There's a lot of wonderful work in the foundation world, but a lot of time it stops at the checkbook. But this foundation has been directly engaged. They've gone beyond the dollars they spend to provide direct assistance based on their decades of study and learning and leadership. And so to be noticed and recognized by this particular entity is a tribute to every one of you and everyone who stands behind you in the organizations that protect children in Indiana. I also want to pause just for a moment and note the important role of responsible journalism here. I was thinking about this morning. I picked up the phone and called Barbara Henry, the publisher of the Indianapolis Star, and just said, Barbara, I don't even know if you know, but this is going to happen this morning. It was a series of stories, carefully researched, aggressively written, that pointed out the unacceptable failure of child protection in Indiana. that first got my attention. I didn't always know this. And many of our fellow citizens probably didn't. And so, there too some credit belongs. And I didn't want to let the morning pass without mentioning it. I was thinking last night about a book that I read, must be 25, 30 years ago, one that really stuck with me. The late Neil Postman wrote a book called The Disappearance of Childhood. Hit me like a train. Talked about all the ways in which modern society has made it difficult to be a child. Taught me something I really didn't know, that the idea of childhood as a special time in life, of children as a special kind of person, deserving special care, protection, nurture, deserving to be insulated to some extent from the cruel realities of adult life. That's not been an eternal part of human existence. That through the Middle Ages and all the way until the last few centuries, children were just small adults. All the ugliness of life enveloped them every day. Life was, as the philosopher said, nasty, brutish, and short. Nobody thought about teaching them, and nobody thought about transmitting knowledge or values to them, and certainly nobody thought about giving them a special time in their life in which they were enveloped in love and given a chance to enjoy their innocence while they could. Today, so much deprives a child of her or his innocence. So much of childhood disappears. It is the most attentive of parents can't prevent it. It comes through the walls of the home. And it just makes it more important that we make every effort we can, particularly for those children to whom life has dealt a tough opening hand, to foster that sense of protection, that guardianship of their innocence that's hard in the best of circumstances these days. Yesterday, as I do every few months, I met with a group I commissioned, cuts across all of state government as well as local government, the federal government, law enforcement, correction, social services, aimed like a laser at the problem of methamphetamine. Like those of you in the child protection world, this group has made a dramatic, measurable difference. I look at the numbers every month. The production of this most destructive, most addictive, most family-destroying drug of all the ones that are out there has been plummeting in Indiana. And one reason we picked it for this focus, the same way we picked child protection for the focus that led to its own department, was because of its effect on children. Imagine little children in our state living in rooms where this toxic killer chemical is being made. That is unacceptable. And many of you have been part of the improvement, as you know. I think we're the first state with a protocol for the action that follows the finding of children in proximity to methamphetamine. So, I need not tell anybody in this room why this was a matter not of great importance, not of primary importance, of maximum importance to our team when we were entrusted with leadership in Indiana. On the first day, we moved to the establishment of a special focused department, the Department of Child Services, sought the ratification of that and got it from the legislature. Yes, we have doubled the number of caseworkers. What I would say to you about that, in case it's been forgotten is we did that despite a fiscal crisis in this state. Indiana was not rolling in money, just the contrary. And we, in the context of the tightest budget in 55 years, in the context of managing every other department of government, save the state police, below that, those new ceilings, we still said children are special. The protection of children and our status at the bottom of the heap is unacceptable. And we will fix the bankruptcy of the state, but we will not wait a day to start investing more, where lives, especially young, vulnerable lives, are at stake. And our folks found a way to do that. We will continue to do all we can. And child support, something else I learned about traveling this state, sitting on bar stools and in cafes with single moms and others. Where did I didn't know that a court order is only the beginning of the process. I didn't know that we had one of the worst records in America, only collecting 50 cents of every dollar some court ordered. Dollars that can make critical difference in the ability of a parent to care for a child properly, not to fall into circumstances or patterns that might lead to the mistreatment of that child. And so great work is going on there too, and tens of millions, $82 million more dollars last I looked has been collected this year than 3 years ago, going straight into the bank accounts of struggling parents. And I hope taking pressure and emotional pressure off, to some extent, off those households. I'm so looking forward to the day, and I know it's just a few months off. We've talked about it now for 3 years. When the phone will ring, and Judge Jim Payne, an indispensable part of this progress, this award you've been recognized for, a man with the biggest heart for kids in America, as far as I know, with the experience to back it up. One day, I hope in just a few months, the phone's going to ring and Judge Payne is going to say, Mitch, we have reached the national standard in terms of caseloads and the time available for great caseworkers to devote to the families they're working with. We have made it. And what a great day, Jim, that will be. It'll be your achievement. But finally, resources, yes. Dollars and people, indispensable. But as Tracy reminded us, it's ultimately results that matter. How, in the question I ask the judge it, each time we sit down, how are the children? And so when it comes to results, Tracy, I want you to know that the experience you related, I hope will always be the case here. 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever it takes, when kids' interests are at stake, Hoosiers don't go home early. In the end, it all comes down to what happens in that household. This is something you all understand so much better than I ever will. I had a wonderful little opportunity this morning. Angie and Marie, I think you've already heard from them, were willing to come over and spend a little time with me. I just wanted to hear their story, thank them for each what they do and what they represent to kids in the state. But in ways I'll never fully grasp, we can provide the resources and we will. We'll put in the hours and we will. It will keep it at the top of our agenda in this state. In the end, it all comes down to caring people, Maria, and earnest, loving parents, Angie, coming together despite the odds and the obstacles to do right by kids. And So, Maria, I told you this morning, to you and every single one of your colleagues, Indiana's heartfelt thanks. This piece of crystal is really for you. Sometimes by pre-planning and very often just by chance, I have been a little part of the swearing-in ceremonies that the judge has had as wave after wave after wave of new caseworkers has come on for training, completed it, and then taken their oaths of office. And I love to do that. Those are great moments. I always tell them the story that even though we were cutting this and shrinking that and tightening down for taxpayers everywhere we could to get this state out of the fiscal ditch, we were investing massively in the protection of children, because that's a non-negotiable item in Indiana. And that the jobs they were taking on were the most important ones I could think of. There are only a couple places, I always say, in all the important work of state government, only a couple things we do that are truly life and death. And this is one. And so I'll keep going to those ceremonies when I can, Jim. I hope others of you will too, if you get the chance. The people who are willing to give their careers and lives to this precious assignment deserve all the help and support we can give them. I will never know, some of you do, but I won't, the difficulty of the decisions that they will face on a routine basis. I honestly don't know how they do it. With the best of training and all the experience, still the judgment calls, I know, have got to be tortuous sometimes and heartrending. But it's clear that Indiana, with your leadership, is making those decisions more and more and more wisely and effectively, with the result being the only one that matters, and that is safer, better protected children with better prospects in life. So my heart is full today of appreciation, of course, for this recognition, which I accept on behalf of everyone who works for kids in Indiana, of thanks to the selfless people who do this work in government or on the outside. But mostly my heart is full of hope. Full of hope for the children of a state who has gotten its act together, the most important act in which we are asked to perform, and which is on its way from the bottom to the top in terms of expressing the love that every Hoosier feels for kids. Thank you very much.